of you with us. I text Jeremy on, Thursday or Friday, and I said, I can never remember when the kids are here, when the kids aren't here. So I said, if you have the kids this weekend, can they read Scripture? And if not, can you and Holly read Scripture? And he responded, sure. And so that's what we got. So anyways, we got it all covered. Thank you so much for and by the way, if you ever would like to read Scripture, you don't always have to lead in prayer. If you're not able to do that, then I can do that. But if you would like to read Scripture sometime, which I think is just a wonderful thing to do with our to be able to read Scripture to your church family, let me know. I try to ask people that I know want to do that, but I don't get to everyone. So if you ever want to read a Scripture passage, you can give me a call, email, text me, talk to me personally, say, I want to read Scripture, and I will definitely make that happen. A couple of quick housekeeping notes this morning before we get into the Jesus is Better Than series that we started last week going through the book of Hebrews. We have sign-up sheets galore. We have some out there. We have some out here. We have sign-up sheets for our Thanksgiving baskets that we give out to those who are less fortunate, and so you can sign up for that. Also, we didn't get it. It's not in the bulletin, but it will be. Belva is having her annual ladies' tea again this year, and so if you, for our ladies, please sign up. There's sign-up sheets, I believe, in all of our adult lady classrooms, as well as in this foyer and in that foyer. So if you want to come and be a part of that, you can put your name on there. Rather have your name and you not show up than not put your name on it and show up, just so that she can prepare for food and seating and all those things like that. Also, don't forget, it's a little earlier, but next Sunday night is our annual Thanksgiving dinner. We moved it up a week just to kind of give people who said they are going to be traveling over the Thanksgiving week a chance to have Thanksgiving with their church family, and besides, it's just a whole lot of turkey all at one time. But some people don't believe you can ever have too much turkey. So anyways, next Sunday night is our Thanksgiving dinner. You bring all the sides. The church is, specific people in the church are providing the turkey and dressing, and so it'll be a good time to celebrate and share with food and fellowship with your church family. And then finally, if you remember Vacation Bible School this year, we did a different project because of what's going on with Mission Galveston, and it wasn't operating. We raised money for our missionaries in Mozambique. And so I got word this week they had their graduation from school this week. And do we have those pictures up there, Robert? These are some. We bought, was it two or three large canopies for them to hold their classes and their graduation ceremonies and all those things there in Mozambique, to keep the children and the parents out of the hot sun. And so that is kind of a firsthand visual of what you, along with our children for Vacation Bible School, did to raise money. Kind of another programming note. Leanna and Allie, along with the twins, will be here in services on Sunday, December 9th. This is their year to come to the U.S. rather than go to England. And so you'll want to mark that on your calendar. Children's Church is going to be dismissed, and they will be in here with us for that. It'll be a really good time to get to know the missionaries and, again, hear the wonderful work. They've been really busy over there this last year in between their bouts with malaria. So make sure and put that on your calendar and be here this morning. Well, again, it's good to have all of you with us. We're going to jump back into our series, Jesus is Better Than, that began last week, kind of a walk through the book of Hebrews. It's often been said, and it is true, that as followers of Jesus Christ, all of what we do as Christians really can be boiled down to two main issues. We are called to do two primarily two things. We have two functions as believers in Jesus Christ. And that is, one, to know Him, to know God. That is the call of every person in the world, is to know God. And secondly, once we know God, our job is to make Him known. And so everything else we do in life, everything else we do in the life of the church, everything we do in our worship, everything we do in our jobs, which really shouldn't be separated from worship, everything else we do should flow out of knowing God and making God known to other people. Those are the two things that we are called to do. The problem, if you will, though, with that, not that that is a problem, but we make it a problem sometimes. The problem, if you will, is that too often we rush into telling people about Him before we or they really know Him. Now, that sounds like an odd statement. Too many times as Christians, we jump to, you need to know Jesus. And while that is true, why? Why is Jesus and Jesus alone the only one qualified to save us from our sins? You see, it's important that we as believers know the God that we are telling other people about. And now, obviously, that's a lifelong learning experience, but there is no doubt that He can save us from our sins, and that is what we tell people, and that is true. In fact, here in our passage at the end this morning, we will end with that. The Hebrew writer, though, wants to remind us that there is a salvation coming to us, but one that we won't fully grasp until we see Jesus face to face. But why can He save us? And that's really what the book of Hebrews is about. The answer is because of who He is. Because Jesus is better than. Better than anything or anyone. He is far above and far superior to anyone or to anything. And it's important to know that. And Hebrews helps unpack all of that superiority of Jesus for us. He is better than anything. This morning in particular, He is better than the angels. And we know that, or we should, as believers in Jesus, as followers of Christ. We know that, but I think that many people struggle with the idea of Jesus being superior than the angels. Some believe that He is really just that. He is just one of the highest angels. And even as we head into the Christmas holidays, we are tempted to get things a little bit twisted when it comes to what we believe about angels and how we view angels and their role in God's kingdom. Because they are definitely important in God's kingdom economy, and Hebrews reminds us of their important role to play, but they are not superior to Jesus. They are not to be worshipped. They are not to be our spirit guides. In fact, just the other day, Belva and I were up at Goodwill, and we have a routine. She goes one way, and I go to the books. And so I went to the books, and I was looking through the books, and I found a book that was not that old. It's only about 5 years old. A book that gives you step-by-step instructions on how to get in touch with your spirit guide. You don't have a spirit guide other than Jesus Christ. It's not biblical. You won't find it anywhere. In fact, it's very New Age. Angels are not to be our spirit guides. They are not to be channeled through us or us through them. They certainly are not our avatars or some spirit form of a human being. They have a role to play, but their role is not to be worshipped. In fact, John the Revelator got himself in trouble not once but twice for worshiping angels. As he's hearing the angel tell of the revelation, he is scolded by an angel for wanting to worship. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things written in the book of Revelation. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow slave with you, your brother, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. What? Worship God. worship God. And so the writer of Hebrews, in this lesson that is very applicable to today, tells us that God is to be our object of worship, that Jesus Christ is to be our object of worship, Him and Him alone, for at least three important reasons. And the first reason is that Jesus has a better name. Jesus has a better name. Now, before we talk about the better name of Jesus, let's just answer the question, why does it even matter? Why does the author of Hebrews even have to deal with this topic of Jesus being better than the angels? For a couple of reasons. One, contemporarily speaking, is because we struggle with that. We have a distorted view, as I've already mentioned, about angels and who they are and what they do and the role that they play and that they are not to be an object or of our affection or of our worship. But it's not just to us, because you have to remember, the Bible was first written. This is important to understand. The Bible was first written to a different audience in a different time for some very specific reasons. Do we read it? Do we believe in it? Does it apply to us? Absolutely. God's Word is timeless. It is new every day. It is not new in the sense of revelation. There is no new revelation, but it speaks to us because, as Hebrews itself says, the Bible is living and active. But it was first written to a different people in a different culture in a different day to address some very specific issues. If you remember from last week, God wants to communicate with us. He wants to communicate with us. He already knows all about us, and He wants us to know all about Him. How do we know all about Him? By knowing the book. By knowing God's Word. If you want to know God, you only have to know God's Word. It will tell you everything you need to know about the Lord and about Jesus. So God wants to communicate with us. And He gives us the Bible, and it was first written to a different group of people. That makes it no less important to us today, because He wants us to know Him as well as the original audience, which were scattered Jews. So hang tight with me for just a few more minutes while I explain some history to you. It's really important to know in order to get a good grasp on the book of Hebrews. Between the return of the exiles, if you remember your Old Testament history, between the return of the exiles from Babylon and the destruction of the temple in AD 70, that period is known as the Second Temple Period. Remember when Ezra, when Nehemiah came back and they rebuilt the walls, and Ezra came back and he rebuilt the temple, that is known as the Second Temple Period. That's Herod's temple that was built. That's the Second Temple Period. Solomon's temple has been destroyed, and the temple that Ezra helped rebuild is now standing. And it was during this time period, the Second Temple Period, it was during this time period that groups like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, think Simon the Zealot, think Judas Iscariot, he also was a zealot. It was during this time that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots were formed. But something else also developed during the Second Temple period of Jewish history, and that was angel worship. Angel worship. The strong idea of personal guardian angels developed during this period, which the Bible, by the way, does not support. Many Jews believe that angels were more than just God's messengers. They are that, but many Jews believe that angels were more than God's messengers, but that they were also Israel's defenders and protectors, thus giving way to the idea of guardian angels. And angels in general do not have any names. They are simply angels. They are simply messengers. In fact, that's what the word angel means, a messenger. The word means nothing more than a messenger. There are two specific angels that are named, if you remember, that we know are given names. Gabriel is the first one, the angel that came to announce the Savior's birth. There is Michael, who we consider or call an archangel. Now, we don't know if he is the only archangel. Scripture doesn't say. He just says he is an archangel. And he does have a name. Scripture simply doesn't say if there are more than more than one. But he does have a very important job, if you remember in Scripture. It is the archangel, presumably Michael, who with the sound of a trumpet will announce the Lord's return. Now, I think that there's good reason that they are not given names. I think it's part of this is just clay theology. You can take it or leave it like you do everything else. But anyways, it's the Lord's way of reminding us that angels are not to be worshipped. You know, you give somebody something a name, and it becomes a little more special to you, right? God says, don't worship angels, because Jesus is so much better than the angels. And they are not to be thought of as something to gain our focus or our attention or our affections, although they have a very important role to play in God's kingdom. What the Bible does tell us, though, is that Jesus is higher than the angels, and that is the name of Jesus that we need to pay attention to. The Bible tells that Jesus is higher, and it is his name that is to be worshipped. What is that name? It is the name Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Remember what Paul said? For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The name of Jesus is what saves you. Nothing else. No other name. Amen, Sandy. Oh yes, what a beautiful name. What a glorious name. And why is the name of Jesus so beautiful and so wonderful? Why is the name of Jesus better and more highly exalted than even the angels? Because it is the saving name of Jesus that saves us from our sins. Listen, the Bible says that one day, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. But then it will be too late. Everyone will confess at some point that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that Jesus Christ is the ruling and reigning King, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. But then it will be too late. It is only as you profess the name of Jesus now that you have forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other what? Name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. No one else can save you but the name of Jesus. And that's why the angel told John, worship God. Worship his name. Worship him. It is a name that is better than the angels, and it is a name that can save people from their sins. But there's another reason the Hebrew writer tells us that Jesus is better than the angels, and so is to be our object of worship. Not just that he has a better name, but that Jesus has an eternal throne. Jesus Christ has an eternal throne. There is no doubt the angels play a part in God's kingdom work. And again, they are ministering spirits, the Bible tells. The writer of Hebrews tells us right here in this passage in verse 14 that they are ministering spirits to us. They have a part to play. And sometimes the Bible tells us we even entertain angels or messengers unaware. But they are simply servants of the Savior. That's it. They are simply servants of the Savior. But the Son, they are servants, but the Son is divine. Big difference. They are servants, but the Son is divine, according to verse 8. But to the Son, your throne, God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. They are divine. He is divine. The angels may surround, listen, the main angels may surround the throne, but Jesus alone sits on the throne. He shares it with no one else and with nothing else. And there's something important, there are some important aspects of this eternal throne that we need to understand. One is that it is just that. It's eternal. It's eternal. Look at what the writer says But to the Son, your throne, God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. You have loved righteousness and have hated lawlessness. This is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy rather than your companions. Now, it's important to understand that this passage of Scripture right here, verses 8 and 9, are taken from the Old Testament. This is a direct quotation. You can go back and look at it. It's a direct quotation from Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. Okay? God's throne, he is referencing Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. And God's throne, the Lord's throne, does not end. Listen to this. Isn't this wonderful? The Lord is not limited to two terms. Praise God. He doesn't serve for 4 or 8 or 6 or 2 years. He reigns eternal, forever and ever, the Bible says. In fact, do you remember what the prophet Isaiah said about this Prince of Peace, about this one who sits on the eternal throne? He said, "And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forevermore." An eternal throne. And hear me on this. I love America. I would like to think of myself as a patriot. I don't know if I am or not, but I cannot wait to get past November 6th. I am so sick and tired of hearing discussions on immigration and borders and Russian probes and this probe and that probe. And frankly, I'm tired of Democrats. I'm tired of Republicans. I'm tired of all their games and their slants on issues. And I can't wait for an eternal throne that will mete out justice and righteousness. Because there is not an elected official around that can do that. Not one. But you still need to go to the polls and you still need to vote. But listen, my hope is not in Austin. My hope is not in Washington. My hope is not on a Cruz or a Beto or anyone else. My hope is in Jesus. And your hope should be in Jesus too. Because he has an eternal, vast throne where the government will rest on him, because he will be the eternal government. A government where everything is as it should be, where there will be justice, where there will be peace, where there will be mercy, where there will be absolutely no lawlessness. An eternal throne. In fact, the Bible says, "And your scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice." We don't see that today. Even in the best cases, we rarely see justice. But there's a kingdom that is here and not here. There is a reign that is here and that is still coming. The reign of Jesus, where your kingdom is a scepter of justice, and you have loved righteousness, and you have hated lawlessness. And listen, angels are great, and they are the sent ones, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name, is the only anointed one. He is better than the angels. And Jesus is to be worshipped because he has a better name, and because he has an eternal throne that will not end. And get this. "And in the beginning, Lord, you established the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands, and they will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You will roll them up like a cloak, and they will be changed like a robe, but you are the same, and your years will never end." I want you to think about that. You know, Jesus is to be worshipped, and he has a better name and an eternal throne that will not end, and it will not wear out like this old earth is winding down, like our bodies are winding down. Amen. And again, the author takes us back to creation. It says, Jesus was there. In the beginning, Lord, you established the earth. The heavens are the works of your hands. But listen, this old world is wearing out and it is winding down. And like last year's style that is one day in and the next season is out, like an old pair of shoes or socks that get tattered and torn and worn and need to be thrown out. Yes, this world suffers from decay and deterioration, but the sun will remain new, and his justice and his love and his mercy and his compassion and his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness will never, ever end. That's why he has a better name. That's why he is better than anything else. And that is why we worship the name that is above every name. And that is why we worship Jesus. But there's still something else. Jesus has a better name. Jesus has an eternal throne. But Jesus also has a powerful reign. He has a powerful reign. Verse 13. Now to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Verse 13 is a reference to the rule and to the reign of David in the Old Testament. You can find that reference in Psalm 110. And it's talking about the fact that David would defeat his enemies. And we know that to be true. After the reign of David, when David was on the throne at the end of the land had peace from war, the Bible tells us. That's why Solomon was able to come in and do what he was able to do, because David was a warrior king. And it was after that that he, and so it's a reference to David that his enemies were put down. Well, Jesus is from the house of David, and while angels are involved in this great spiritual battle that we know as spiritual warfare, the Bible says, for our battle is not against flesh and blood. Listen, whoever's on the other side of that aisle from you, whoever's on the other side of that political spectrum from you, they are not your enemy. Satan is the enemy. People are never the enemy. Satan is always the enemy. You better love people, even if they are unlovable, because you know what? You are too sometimes. And so am I. Just ask my wife. We're all unlovable. But we are not the enemy. That person who dresses differently, who thinks differently, who votes differently, who believes differently, who worships differently, who has a different lifestyle, they are not the enemy. We have one enemy. And that enemy is Satan. We have one enemy. I just might. But our enemy is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. That is our enemy. Angels will and do fight on our behalf. And they minister to us in this battle, I believe. But they are not, listen, they are not the victors. Jesus Christ is the victor. Christ is the victor. Christ is the one who wins. The Lord's enemy will be his footstool. And he will be the champion in the battle, not the angels. You've got to know that. But there's another reason that his reign is powerful. And this is the most important thing to remember as to why the Lord Jesus Christ is better than the angels. Yes, he has a better name, and yes, he has an eternal throne. But why is his reign so powerful? Because it is the name of Jesus and Jesus alone who can forgive us of our sins. Look at verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? We talked about that. Angels are nothing more than that. They are ministering spirits. They minister to you. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve who? Those who are going to inherit salvation. Those who are going to inherit salvation. You see, he will be the champion in the battle. Christ is better than the angels, and he has a better name, and he has an eternal throne. And the reason is because it is Jesus and Jesus alone who can forgive sins. The angels are ministering spirits to us. They are messengers to us who inherit salvation. And how do we inherit salvation? Through the name of Jesus. How do we inherit salvation? By having our sins forgiven. Only Jesus and Jesus alone has the power, the authority, the right to forgive sins. The Bible says we have redemption in Him through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Listen, you will not find redemption. You will not find forgiveness in believing in angels. You will not find forgiveness and redemption in any world government. You will not find it in Republicans, and you will not find it in Democrats. You will not find it in Independents, John Birch Society, or any other political group. You won't find redemption and forgiveness in democracy, and you won't find it in a republic. You will not find forgiveness and redemption in communism, and you certainly will not find it in socialism. And you won't, by the way, find it in capitalism either. You will find it only in Jesus Christ, the one whose kingdom is filled with justice and righteousness and has no end. Heavenly Father, thank you.